South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, everybody, here we go. Get ready for takeoff. We have got Andrew C. Hall. He's the managing partner of Hall, Lamb, and Hall, PA. He's tried cases arising from some of the nation's most significant historical events, from the Watergate trials and the Ohio savings and loan crises to the 2000 terror attack on the USS Cole and the Marriott bombing in Islamabad. Mr. Hall's trial skills are recognized as among the top echelon of litigators in the nation. His caseworks involved complex criminal litigation, professional negligence, securities litigation, arbitration, family law, personal injury, and wrongful death. Andy's tenacity in the courtroom is in large part a product of his past. Born in Warsaw, Poland in 1944, while his parents hid from the Nazi occupiers, Mr. Hall is tireless in his pursuit for justice and desire to stand up against oppression and abuse of power. Within the legal profession, Mr. Hall is involved in the Florida Bar, the American Jurister Society, hope I got that right, the Florida Justice Association, and the American Association for Justice. Welcome to the show, Andy Hall.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming now. Andy, the reason that I really brought you on the show, and it's not to really talk about all the fabulous stuff, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that, but it's to talk about the condo situation. And I know that your firm does a lot of litigation, and so you evaluate what's going on in business and see what may be coming up. And the way that they're financing condos today without any real pre-sale capacity or construction financing out there is with the buyer deposit model. I call it the super deposit model. Help me out here. There's a bunch of things going on. Maybe you can kind of lay the predicate for what's going on and then maybe tell us some of the pitfalls and some of the solutions.
Well, we start with the idea that the market's changing and there's a huge demand for high-end residential condos. We've seen the price escalate. There is a demand in certain parts of the county now. There's almost no inventory. So that creates the perfect environment, perfect storm environment, actually, for this type of opportunity to occur. From a builder-developer standpoint, it's terrific. You look at the buyer and you say, I'm not going to wait on collecting my money until I'm done. You'll pay me as we go, and you'll do that through these deposits. Now, that seems fair and reasonable, except if you've taken a look through the last crisis that we had, there are a lot of cranes in the sky that don't for buildings that don't necessarily get finished if the market changes. So it's a question of, as long as the market's doing well, everything is rising, builders perform, developers deliver, there's no problem with it.
Now, I remember in the last cycle that a number of these guys used to call me to help them get financing. One guy called me, I just made $5 million in the stock market. I bought some land on Brickell. I want to do a condo. That one went BK. Now, I've got to believe that one of the real issues here, I see all these condos are being developed, some of them by very reputable firms, Related, Key International, TerraCorp. But then there are others that are perhaps not being developed by somebody as strong and reputable. And I would think that would give somebody pause.
It should. If you read the contract, it would. And I can tell you personally, I would never do it. People that ask me about it, I basically say they are taking more risk than they want to contemplate because there's no way to protect yourself if things go bad. If you have a guy and he runs out of money, and he could be a multimillionaire and still running out of money, because we're talking about projects that are $100, $200 million projects.
Oh, golly, sure.
So that's a lot of money. And if you are counting on the buyers to produce some, most, or all of the financing, and you get a break that goes against you, the market starts to drop, all of a sudden you don't finish the project. At that moment, somebody whose deposit's been posted and been used has almost no remedy. It's a real dangerous problem.
Wow. So somebody could be $1 million, $2 million, $3 million or more into one of these developers and just be out there, I'm going to use the term, as an unsecured creditor?
It's an unsecured creditor behind a mortgage.
Oh, my God.
That the developer is allowed to take out to build the property. So think about it this way. If you were an unscrupulous developer, and you gave me the list of some of our
Though I gave you the list of the top guys.
Right. And we're not going to see that with these people.
No, those people are well capitalized and they have institutional backstops.
But reverse it. So the Ponzi scheme. The Ponzi scheme started when Charles Ponzi decided that his scheme was so good that he could take his profits before he could deliver.
Well, hold on a minute now. That sounds like what you were just talking about.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So essentially, if a developer is unscrupulous and he starts helping himself to the profits along the way before the building is being done, there's no reason why he can't do that. He can do that by paying his construction company the standard charges and earn profits on that. Substantial profits. He can do it through soft costs, running through corporations that he controls. And eventually, the money gets diverted. He does fine. The building doesn't get finished. And you are left high and dry. And the question is, you go to a bankruptcy court. You're an unsecured creditor. If there's a lender, the lender says, wait a minute, I'm going to finish up and protect myself. And you're done. You're absolutely done. And then you're going to turn around and look and say, well, how did I get here? And the truth of the matter is, in the first instance, you got here because you didn't understand what you were doing.
You know, it's really wild. And people say, well, this will never happen. And I can only tell you that one of the oldest models in the real estate game is make your money on the construction loan.
Right.
And that's what you just described.
Right.
And so now I'm here. I'm in this pool of, you know, you described an absolute, you know, huge debacle. What if just a couple of people don't come in and they miss a payment or they can't make a payment, or it's the guy that's got the penthouse and that's $20 million of a $100 million deal? It could be just one little misstep that nobody can control and you're still thrown in there in the vat. No.
Oh, that's exactly the problem. So if you look at it from the standpoint of the contract buyer, you're putting up your money and you're rolling the dice. You're counting on everything going exactly the way it's supposed to. No blips, no delays, and that never happens in construction. So the question, of course, is how safe are you? And you're not.
And let's not forget, construction costs are rising and somewhat dramatically right now, especially for these high-rise deals in the super luxe market, and you're already seeing the frenzied parties starting again. And there are legitimate people that are finishing and are delivering high-quality projects. Nego's going to be here. He's doing it. And they stand by everything. They're top of the line.
Right.
But if somebody is kind of worried, they bought a condo and maybe it's a 70-unit deal by some guy they never heard of, what should they be doing to protect themselves other than avoiding the situation entirely?
Well, I don't think you have a lot of remedies. And the problem is, remember, if you're doing a condo deal, you're dealing 70, 100, 150 units, you're going to deal with a standardized contract. You walk in and you say, you know, I'm uncomfortable, so I want to negotiate some special protection that allows me to come in and participate in the completion process, special accountability. Good luck. You won't get it. So then the next logical thing is you say, well, obviously I should ask for a bond, completion bond. Now, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these do get done with a max cost, completion bond, blah, blah, blah. You would think the lender would want that, but there's not a lender a lot of times.
Right, and I will also tell you that that's the whole purpose, is to avoid these expenses.
Sure.
So if you got a completion bond and you were a beneficiary of it, you've got some protection there. But I got to tell you, the other part of it is that when buildings get in trouble, they get in trouble in unpredictable ways. You know, people run out of money, they start scrimping on things. They start basically using inferior materials, labor, and you may not want to close while this is going on. And nobody's there. And the other part of it is nobody's watching how the money is being spent.
No owner's rep.
No owner's. Well, there's an owner's rep in the developer side for
well,
sure.
Unit owner's rep.
You bet.
There's no condo association yet.
And will not be until there's a close and a turnover years later. So just think about it this way. Construction lender, there was a secret benefit to a construction lender. And that was that the bank made sure that there was the value in the building equal to the draw, because they wanted to protect themselves. You don't have that protection either. So you've got a lot of things working against you. Now, the question then becomes, What do you have working for you?
And I'm going to make a pause. I'm going to do the radio trick. We're going to tease everybody with that. We're going to be right back after this break. We're going to have Andy Hall talking about how to protect yourself in condos. And coming up real short is going to be Inigo Arditi. And we're going to talk to him about how the condo developers are addressing the potential risks inherent in this structure. Back after this, Dave.
I need somebody help, not just anybody. So much younger than today.